Hello, I'm Monty Betham, and thank you for choosing Once a Warrior. My guest I first met in under 14s. He's played 240 NRL games and won 2 grand finals. Joe Ngalavel, thanks for your time, Us. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Us. Thanks for having me.
Mate, what a career. Proud of you. But what are you doing now? Still making an impact in the game?
Yeah, still involved in the game. Now employed at RPA. Got a new initiative that kind of came out of the last year's negotiations with the CBA. So it's a past players in transition program. So I'm one of its managers. So that's kind of myself working with past players and just making sure that, you know, their journey post rugby league is, you know, that they're supported, and we can resource them if there's anything that they need help with. So
okay, Joe, we're going to go back to your time when you first started your NRL career in the Warriors jumper.
Joe Nalabau, he broke away from the trouble. Nalabau. Joe Nalabau will do it here, pick up the opener.
Oh, look at that.
God, it doesn't matter, Joe Nalabau. Forget about that one. How about one under the post?
As Nalabau gets on a break as they open up.
Joe, you watch those highlights, man. What does that bring back in terms of memories?
Yeah, it's you realise how young you were back in the day and how athletic you were. So for me, yeah, it's definitely and a lot of those clips I haven't seen in like years. And so it's good to reflect back.
Because you used to love running that cut line, that drop angle on the way back, because you're a powerful runner. Yeah. I know firsthand because you used to run over me back in the junior days. That was a big play of yours.
Yeah, it was like one of my bread and butter. I think growing up, like, I always loved that cut play, that drop play. I think for me, just because of how I was pretty explosive, pretty quick off the mark. So I think, you know, that change of direction, you know, could, you know, especially on a, you know, defender that's stopping and then having to go again, you know, I think, you know, I really kind of loved that, you know, that move and that play. So it was something that, you know, I kind of built my career on, and, you know, probably around 1,000 of those throughout my career. So, yeah.
Do you remember the first time you had dreams and aspirations of the club? I mean, was the first time you got bought into it? I think we're both the same age, under 15, Auckland team, schoolboy Kiwis. I think that's when we signed a scholarship, 93, 94. What do you remember then? Was it John Acklin who brought you in? What did he have to say?
Yeah, I think, you know, he's had a really big impact on our careers in the Akers, and like, and especially making those rep sides. And you know, what I loved about Akers is that, like, he could see potential, you know, and even when you didn't see the potential in yourself, I think that's like one of his strengths. When the Warriors came into the competition, like, you know, we were making those development sides, that's when I was going, oh, okay, hey, to go in an environment like that, like, was like mind-blowing. And then to, you know, rub shoulders with, you know, like the TRO parties and, you know, the Dennis Betts and like those guys that, and Stephen Kearney's, like these guys that, you know, we were playing rugby league as a professional. Yeah, it was just mind-blowing. Just any sort of acknowledgement, like, you know, just a, hey, yeah, you know, just go, oh, hey, you said hi to me, you know. So like those things, like, you know, they just meant the world to us at the time, right? You know, because like they were the players that we wanted to be, right? And that was definitely something that at the time was really exciting. Didn't know where it was gonna land, but yeah.
In 98, I think you signed your first full-time contract. Do you remember how that went? And then, because you mentioned before, at a young age you were just happy to be there, but now it's a job, and you've seen what first grade was like, and you've seen there was a career path. What were your early memories of that, Joe?
Yeah, it was like exciting, like, but it was a whole new world, like, you know, contracts and player managers and it was like, you know, it was like someone was speaking alien to me, you know, like, I just, you know, just didn't know like that side of rugby league, you know, like, I just thought, hey, listen, my job on the field, you know, just looking after that. But then all those other things that, you know, you had to look after was things that I didn't really take into account. And again, it's just due to experience or lack of experience, you know, signing full-time contract. Again, it was just another realization of, oh man, this can be an actual career, and, you know, getting paid to train, getting paid to play. And so it was something that, if I was being honest, it was a bit of a confusing time, you know, just because, again, all this off-field stuff, again, like, just, you just don't know.
In terms of 1998, that was your debut, and how did you feel? Because, like, you were one of the first of our grade, our era.
It was, just a dream come true, you know, like, you know, I get to share the field, you know, with, now, obviously, players that I grew up watching, and then playing against players that, you know, I've watched on TV. So it was definitely something, you know, man, you just don't forget. Playing in Australia as well against, you know, like, again, you're playing one of the most successful clubs, you know, like a heritage club, like one of the first clubs, that, you know, say, like, there's so much history. And so a lot of that is attached to the game. And then to get on the field, you know, like, that in itself, like, you know, you're just, your mind's running like 1,000 miles per hour. Yeah. You know, your job and, you know, what I do here, and, you know, and so a lot of it's just instinctive. I think you just kind of go into this instinctive mode and into the game plan, and then obviously the players around you that, you know, help guide you, tell you where to go. So yeah, that was kind of comforting. But, you know, like, yeah, it's just, you're just on adrenaline.
Joey, your next game was a big one, man. The task of filling in for a star fullback, Matthew Ridge.
There was one focus, was that first bomb. Like, as a fullback, like, you know, you just dread, oh, man. And the funny thing was, I was playing reserve grade most of that year as a centre. To play fullback in a position where, you know, like, it's a high, you know, high risk, high reward type of, you know. Richie's, he gave me some encouragement. It was just a whirlwind, really. You know, you just, you know, it doesn't matter who's giving you advice. You know, you're just kind of thinking about your own job and, you know, just taking it all in, and let alone playing fullback.
I came over 18th man over to Olympic Park, which was the first home of Melbourne Storm, hard place to go and visit. And there was a very good team that you were playing against that day. You scored a try. Do you remember much of the try you scored?
Yeah, I remember this. Yeah, it was my first try, actually. So, yeah, really, yeah, I definitely remember it in the end. So, got the highlights in the back of safe somewhere. Yeah, so, it was actually the team meeting before was, you know, they kind of asked for my opinion, you know, and like, I was like, you know, you're just a shy kid, but then, you know, you're going to, you know, I remember saying something around the fullback, oh, you know, he, something around, oh, just got to make sure you're covering the inside and, you know, things like that, again, like that. And then you kind of, you know, sheepishly go back into your chair, hoping that, you know, everyone listens, you know, like, you know, then, but then you hear them go, oh, yeah, that's good feedback, you know, so you go, oh, okay, so, you know, that really kind of gave me confidence, you know, you could be able to have a voice, and even at such a young age, so, like, that's one of the things that I actually finally remember about, like, that lead up into that game was just being able to speak up, you know, and even though, like, I was, you know, I scared out of my brains, you know.
That last moment, that try, the Stacey Jones kick in the air, the bomb, they come down. That win, it was a massive win, because not many teams would go to Olympic Park and win. It was a bit of a cauldron.
Bit of a game of attrition, right? Like, it was going back and forth. Like, they'll get the ascendancy, and, you know, we'll come back. And I think what I loved about that game was the resilience shown by the team. I think, you know, we weren't going too well that year. But so just to hang in, going into that game, you know, we weren't going too well, but the lead into that game kind of really gave us that feeling like, hey, we can be resilient, we can hang in there, we can play teams like this and beat them, you know, if we play to our potential. And but to win in that fashion as well, like, oh, it was like a grand final. Yeah, there was, you know, I had any feelings of winning grand finals at that time, but you know, to be in that position, like, man, if this is what it's like winning grand finals, man.
There was a lot of Samoans within the team. Name some of those guys, and did that make it easier for you in terms of just being a little bit more comfortable around these leaders?
Yeah, like guys like the Chief, Tony Tuimavavi, like Tony Taps as well. Tony Taps, like, he was, you know, Taps, he's such a, for someone that has his size, he's such a really approachable, really caring, you know, type of personality. So, you know, coming into grade, like, having those guys around, and, you know, Chief's probably the opposite, you know, very stoic and, you know, like, that real leader. And so you kind of had a, you know, guys to look up to, but also guys that, you know, had your back in as well. And, you know, guys like yourself, and then Nigel, Joe Vangana, you know, the Vangana guys there too. So, you know, it was, a real good environment, you know, especially if you're a young Samoan kid coming into a professional environment, knowing that, you know, you've got, you know, fellow Usos there too, and battle with you. And me and Nigel always have a bit of a chuckle because we're always at the back in conditioning, you know. So, you know, you've got your crew there at the back, you know, when you're getting flogged during pre-season. So, me and Nigel just have a bit of a laugh about that. It's, again, I guess in the context too of we're playing in Auckland, you know, like, it's a very, you know, big demographical bus vicar here, you know. So to, you know, to have that in club as well, you know, something that, you know, you're comfortable with, you know, and, you know, just what you grew up with, right? And just having your brothers in that way with you.
your numbers again, 240 games, and this is not even internationals, 240 games, two grand final rings. 2000, you only played three games for the club. 2001, you were in limbo. Were you playing buttercard? What were you doing? And like, that's it, your career could have been finished at 27 games. Yeah. For the Warriors.
You know, I kind of self-sabotaged my own career, you know, and again, a lot of it was just my own self, right? Going from no success or, you know, just building into a professional environment, you know, now you've got, you know, a bit of status and you've got a bit of money and I didn't know how to handle that. And as a young fella too, just my own mindset, you know, I just thought that, you know, I could continue partying and doing all these other things. You get all this exposure at such a young age, you know, next thing you know, you get into places, you know, so you kind of think that you're, you know, bigger than you actually really are in your own mind. I was kind of mucking up and, you know, not doing the right things, coming to training late, you know, all these type of things. I remember coach probably would have prompted them to say some words to me and again, I didn't appreciate it till later on when I was, my life was on, you know, my career was on lifeline, you know, you look back and you go, man, shit, what they're saying is actually true, you know, and like, but that's just experience. And, you know, just for myself at that period, like 98 day boot, and then I just kind of was on a bit of a trajectory down, you know, just didn't know how to sustain that success. When the club went and had a bit of dire straits there in 2001, you know, I was part of that fallout.
We went away to the World Cup at the end of that year, and we played for Samoa. And a lot of us were getting phone calls from Daniel Anderson. Did you not get that phone call from Daniel Anderson?
No, I didn't get any phone calls. And probably a lot of it too was like, you know, I guess back to my point about like player agents and like that side of, you know, rugby league. Like, you know, I had no clue, you know. And so probably at the time, probably I had, you know, some wolves, you know, in sheep's clothing, you know, having, you know, putting poison in my ear and, you know, saying, oh, this and that. And so, you know, there was a lot of that, you know, and again, you know, I was just a kid, you know, like, I don't know, what are you guys talking about? You know, and I was probably naive to just let them, you know, run things. And probably that's from there, that's kind of where that miscommunication or no communication kind of played into that. And but yeah, so I guess when Tiny took over, and then obviously Ando came on board, I guess from my perception at the time, I just didn't think that the club saw value in me. And again, a lot of it was just my own self as well, you know, again, not doing the things that, you know, I put on like stack of weight as well, you know, so just, you know, just wasn't looking after myself and not training well. So
you're in the system 2001, you're in the squad. But you just turned up to training, you didn't get a chance to play, but you're off playing buttercard. What did you change in that period to be picked up, if anything at all?
Like, I was embarrassed, actually, you know, to go back and play buttercard. But at the same time as well, I just thought, well, this is my reality right now. Like, it's probably more a mindset thing than technical. It was just like, listen, this is where I am. I'm just going to play the best I can. You know, like, I didn't have to blame anyone, you know, other than myself at the time. And you know, it's probably my first real, you know, setback that I had in my career. Just, again, that having that small shift in my mentality, well, hey, listen, this is my reality. You know, just start playing good. You know, if the door's open, you know, then hopefully if I'm playing well enough, like, I'll get spotted. Peter Mahon, rest in peace, was one of the scouts at Penrith, and he pretty much, you know, saw me play, I think we're playing Mount Albert at their grounds, and he goes, hey, listen, you know, saw some of your highlights where, you know, I'd love to bring you over as a trainer trial. And, you know, for me, it was kind of like, oh man, like, this is it. Like, you know, this is my chance. Yeah. You know, I think when you're backed into a corner, you got nothing to lose, you know, you just got to, and for me, it was, hey, this is my last, you know, throw at the dice here, and, you know, I've got to make the most of it. And for me, that was the real realization for me. And that, probably one of the best things too is moving over to Australia as well to get away from, you know, the bubble that is Auckland for me at the time. You know, I just, you know, obviously my own, what I was doing at the time wasn't, you know, beneficial at the time. So to get out of here and be put in a place where, man, I've never lived outside of Auckland. You know, like, cultural,
man,
literally that sink or swim. And for me too, a lot of it too was a bit of a like an inward journey for me as well. Like, it was like, that's what it really was. It was boiling down to, coming down to, like, what do you really want to do? and like all these things that I was, you know, again, sabotaging my career with, like I had to actually look myself in the mirror and go, like, this is your last chance. And I think a lot of it too was I was comparing myself as well, you know, yeah. Just kind of, you go look at it, you know, especially when guys were surpassing you and you're going, oh, you know, yeah, you kind of, yeah. But then when I went to Penrith, like I remember the time I was on the bike, I mean, I was just warming up during pre-season, and then Luke Lewis, he was, you know, young buck at the time, he was just passing the ball and, you know, doing kicking, and I was going, oh man, oh, this kid's amazing, man. I wish I was, yeah. I wish I was this guy. I mean, I wish I had his talent. I remember saying these things in my mind. I was going, oh man. But then I was thinking, I was going, oh man, I'm not him, man. I'm not him. Yeah. Like, I'm going, and I just said to myself, like, what is my strength? You know, and I said, like, man, I run hard and I know I can tackle. So I'm just going to focus on those two things, like build my career around that at that point. And from then on, I just, you know, just didn't focus on anyone else.
If you think about the hair bears, what did you weigh as a hair bear? What did you weigh as a fullback?
Being Samoan, you always kind of naturally heavy. So I was actually probably as a heavy fullback, to be honest. I was probably 96, 98.
Because back then that was big. Yeah. Like now it's not big for a fullback, right? Yeah.
Well, man, she's, man. Yeah. Hair bear, I was about, probably played at 109. 108, wow. 109. Yeah, so.
Was that, how much of that was the hair, man? And I'm just probably, jealous because I didn't have a lot.
Yeah, it's probably about 5 kilos, I reckon. But I think, you know, also too, you had to think about the game at the time was a very heavy, you know, defensive orientated type of game. And that, and yeah, probably a lot more players on the interchange bench, you know. Yeah. So that played a big part on me being able to carry a bit. And I was actually comfortable at that weight, like, you know, in terms of collision, you know, like, and I was still pretty quick off the mark, so.
Yes, you were.
Yeah.
It was disgusting, actually. I hated trying to tackle you throughout my whole career, from a 14-year-old to a little bit later on in life. Yeah. But when I look back at it, man, you killed a lot of dreams for us, Warriors. It's the guy that got away and came back and haunted the club. I'm going to start with 2003, the major preliminary final.
You know, we never had any aspirations. Like, we wanted to be successful. We knew we were still a club rebuilding at the time, and coming first at the end of the regular season and then, you know, making finals, like, you know, we were kind of still a bit of a surprise to us, to be honest. Well, me personally, coming against the Warriors was something for us that we knew, you know, the years prior to that, like the success that you had as a team in this organisation, that we needed to play like the best football we could. And, you know, like, you know, the team that you guys had at the time too, you know, like, it was, you know, full of stars and, you know, full of players that could, you know, break the game open, you know, any time. So we needed to make sure that, you know, we did everything possible, you know, to, you know, mitigate and, you know, wherever the threats were. So, yeah. You know, I was facing up against Sione Fanwina, and, you know, like, I was going, man, this guy can do anything on during the game, you know, at any time. So for me, he was a massive threat, obviously playing against him. Then, yeah, Toops as well. And, you know, so then, you know, Stace. If Stacey was right across from you in attack, you just go, just try and get as much support around you. Tighten up, bring in the line, you know, like, you know, tighten up AB, you know. So, like, you know, just because he's up there, and I think he stepped me a few times. Just because, again, like, you want to take space, because, you know, if you give him space, he'll make you pay. And, you know, so I just want to get up, you know, take space from him, so he doesn't, you know, sweat. And, you know, next thing, he's gone, and, you know, he's under the post. So like for me, like, as a team, like, we just thought, hey, collectively, if we could, you know, nullify the threats, you know, play as much, you know, keep the ball as much as we can, possession wise, and complete our sets, you know, we could, you know, be in a chance. And, you know, that's kind of what happened throughout the game. And, you know, little bits of brilliance here and there from, you know, some of our guys, like Ryan Girdler and those guys. So, yeah, kind of put us in good stead.
Okay, I'll talk to you about a little bit of brilliance, and that was your try in that game. How often do you remember that scene being played out?
Yeah, usually it gets a cycle on the TV during grand final week, you know. So especially if you're a Penrith fan. So I pinch myself. To be honest, like, you know, I'm just a kid from South Auckland. Never thought I would ever, you know, be in positions like that, and to, you know, be able to do something for your team that, you know, got them across the line into a grand final. Like, it's something that I'm, you know, I'm always grateful of, and something that I always look back from and fondly. Not so much the hair. I don't know what I was doing back in the days with the hair, but I'm just kind of glad I did a job for the team, and yeah, made a difference where I could. So
I can't look back on it, Joe, because it still scars me, mate.
Joey, after beating us, the Warriors, in the prelim final, you went on to claim a title for the Panthers.
For me, I was really emotional after the game in 2003. For me, and a lot of it was 2 years prior, 2001, when I left the club, like my life, my career was on lifeline, you know. It was like 2003 for me to look back at that journey, you know, and to be in that position, you know, that's, you know, people go, oh, man, you're, they were teasing me how much I was crying, like, you know. I think one of the commentators would say, like Joe Ngalubao, look, he's, it's 20 minutes, the game's finished, and he's still crying, and, you know, things like that.
I was crying too. I was crying the weekend before, but yeah. I was so proud of you when you went on to do that. Our game was a prelim final, but there was a grand final 2011 that everyone got excited about. It was the second time to the big dance for the Warriors, but once again, you spoiled the party, Joe. Talk to me about that week, what do you remember, and of course, this Warriors side that you're going to be playing against.
Yeah, it was a pretty awesome week, and I was pretty lucky to play in that team. It was a grand final team, like, even before I joined the club. So, you know, and I looked up to, you know, guys like Jamie Lyon and Stevie Matai, and like those guys, like, who, you know, the Stewart brothers as well, like, you know, the amazing preparation and just the training sessions, and just how smart those guys are. Like, their footy IQ is, you know, probably one of the best, you know, I've ever been, you know, been associated with. So I guess that extra incentive for me playing against my old club, like, definitely could see, you know, the threats there, like, you know, young Sean Johnson, and played off the cuff, obviously his touch background, and just, he was just so explosive, like, you know, and there was things he was doing, even the games before that as well, like, you were going, man, like, and just the unpredictability, I think that's what made him, you know, so dangerous. And then you had someone like, you know, Jimmy Malone there that, you know, could steer a game and, you know, control a game as well. I think that's, you know, one of his strengths as a player. But then, you know, in an instant too, he could break a game wide open, you know, and defensively, he's probably one of the best defensive, you know, halves going around at the time. And we knew that, you know, that mix between him and SJ, you know, like, was, you know, something that we needed to control, and just be a part of that team and that organisation was something that I was, you know, again, I was really grateful.
Joey, a wonderful career. We've already spoken about that. But where does the Warriors, and I know it was only 27 games at first grade, but there was a, you know, a scholarship system, there was a reserve grade, there was all sorts. Where does that place in your heart or in your rugby league career for you?
Oh, it's definitely at the top there. Like, I've said this multiple occasions, like, you know, if the Warriors didn't come to competition, like, will we be sitting here? Like, you know, to be honest. And, like, so for me, like, without the Warriors, I'm not sitting here today, you know. And so that in itself, you know, holds a real special place, you know, in my heart, you know, and that this club gave me my first opportunity, you know, in pathways, like, we came through, and then, you know, to give my debut as well, like, you know, it's something that I'll be forever grateful for, you know, and you know, owe the club a lot, and owe the community here in Auckland and New Zealand generally, you know, for, you know, yeah, just for the love they have for the game, and, you know, so it's something I'm really, it's really grateful for.
Joe, once a Warrior, always a Warrior, mate. You're one that got away, that came back to haunt us all, but thank you for your time in that jumper, man.
Nah, thanks, Monty, and again, a real dear friend of mine, and I love you, and yeah, proud of you also with all the work that you're doing as well. So.
Love you, brother. I want to beat them. Join me next week for another episode of Once a Warrior.
Joe Nalabau, he broke away from the trouble. Nalabau. Joe Nalabau will do it in. Pick up the opener.
Oh, look at that. God, it doesn't matter. Joe Nalabau. Forget about that one. How about one under the post?
As Nalabau gets on a break as they open.